Reading Ruth is part of this story. But the threshing floor, God gave me this word over 6 months ago, but I had to study it, I had to go through it. God wanted to show me that worship was like the consummation of marriage between oneself and Jesus, the Son of God. I'd seen God working through my life using the winnowing fork many times. But this time was seriously different. And now I know through this that God has molded me to be in His, to be His in all areas. I have eventually allowed this to happen because we're all not obedient to God and some of us think we know better. but I thought it might be a rebuke. And it wasn't. It was a blessing. And we must learn to run to Him and not from Him when incidents happen in our lives. And we become stronger, especially through praise and worship. The meaning of worship, thank you. The meaning of worship is to honour with extravagant love and extreme submission. That's one quote I had. There's many up there. This is the promise that when we worship God with extravagant love and extreme submission, God will come and commune with us. The promise is not that we will feel great or that our heavy load will just be lifted, but that God will come. And when God comes in His own time as a response to our worship, as it says in Psalm 96 verse 13, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and His people in faithfulness. Worship isn't just how we do it, not just a sing that we do or a raising of the hands. Worship is movement. When we worship, we need to move our bodies, so we're going to have to learn how to do a bit of dancing. In fact, Destiny Church in Leeds have already offered to give us some lessons. it's not just our mouth and arm, but our whole body. Like we would if we were being consummated in marriage. So next is, what is the threshing floor? Yeah, in the Bible, the threshing floor has literal and symbolic meanings. The threshing floor was first mentioned in Genesis 50, verses 10 and 11. And in those days, people used to bring wheat or barley to a main threshing floor where people would beat the chaff from the wheat. Sometimes the oxen and cattle could walk over it. And the winnowing fork was then used to separate it even more through the air. The chaff would separate the good wheat from the bad. The good wheat could then be made into flour. And then a little yeast added, or not, and we could be moulded, just like God moulds us now. He moulds us into the shape He wants us before we go into the oven to bake. Nothing can be done with the chaff. It's classed as rubbish, as it was inedible. It was sometimes used for bedding. That's how much it was used for. I'll talk about the symbolic meaning as we go on. The threshing floor was used for separation of good and bad, and in Scripture, in both the Old and New Testament, the threshing floor is described as being a place of judgment. For example, in Hosea 13:3, because Israel kept turning to false gods, God said that He would scatter them to the winds as the chaff from the threshing floor. In the New Testament, He uses the imagery to describe the kingdom of God. It says in Luke 3, verse 17, that the chaff will be thrown into an unquenchable fire. The wicked, those who don't know God, are often described as chaff that the wind drives away. If you want relevant scriptures, look in Psalm 1:4 or Isaiah 17 verse 13. And in also the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13, 36, 43. For those who don't know what tares are, it's just the weeds. The imagery shows the good grain being separated from the worthless weeds. Point two, marriage and the threshing floor. We see a lot of this in Boaz and Ruth's story. The threshing floor represents the symbolism of the relationship between the bride, which is the church, and the bridegroom, Christ. This is depicted in the reading from Ruth. Ruth went to Boaz and laid with him across his feet, which represents servanthood. As we sang in the song earlier on, where we throw ourselves at Jesus' feet, that's what we should do. We should be at his feet. We should bow down to his feet. He may be prostrate across the ground, but we should be at his feet because we are the servant and he is the master. Ruth went to Boaz and laid with him across his feet. And Boaz represents Christ. Ruth, the bride of Christ. She gave her all for him. Her reputation, her rejection, her love, her all. She staked her life on Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer, her bondsman, her deliverer, her rescuer. Is this all beginning to sound familiar to you? Jesus did all this and more to show his love for us. He even took our sins as well on the cross. And people were at his feet there. And they worshipped him there. Some mocked him, but some worshipped him. And that's what we should do. We should worship him at the cross. At the blood of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Worship and the threshing floor, the next point. The threshing floor should be your place of worship, and not just on a Sunday. It should be every day. We'd all like to think that we're always the wheat or the corn and not the chaff. But how many times a day have we had to remove weeds, tares, or chaff from our life? We live in a world where life is a process. When we came to Christ, we came to the threshing floor. When tribulation and sorrows or life throws us a curveball, how do we respond? Do we come to that place of worship on the threshing floor where we can worship God and give him all our sorrows and woes? Or do we carry them for a while saying, I'm too busy, I'll deal with it later? Or it's only minor, it's not worth giving it to God. Well, I believe that God is our rescuer, whether it's a small bit or a large bit. God is our rescuer. He is our kinsman redeemer, the Son of God. And he's more loving and full of grace than even Boaz was. So we should come to the threshing floor and worship him. And as we do, allow all our burdens, sorrows, healing, whatever, come to him with them. And leave them with God. In the scriptures, there are other offerings to bring. The heave offering, the wave offering. It's never a designated amount. It's to give something to a higher purpose or lifting a part of a quantity to a larger quantity. I'd just like to give a little summary now. And I believe this is what my husband thought of summary. After all the bad weather we're having, he thought that might cheer everybody up. Are we the wheat or are we the chaff? Or even sometimes the tares and wheats in our own life? This does include when we're with family that might not know God, or even that do. Work colleagues or people we meet in the street. The wind, which we believe is the Holy Spirit, is using his winnowing fork to sort out the chaff from the wheat in all trials and tribulations. Do you sometimes think that you've been through so much that you can't take any more?
Then worship him.
He is stronger. He's separating the wheat from the chaff and using his winnowing fork to show that he can release us from all that holds us down or stops us in our walk with him, that he can break every chain. He can bind the brokenhearted. He can really know the amazing grace so that we can be more like him every moment of every day. Worship is the coming together or consummation of the bride and bridegroom, where we can express our love to him and he to us. I hope that's been helpful to you all. And if you've got any questions, please give me them later and I'll try to answer them. Thank you.